Some time ago that Brother Lendred Sheldrick was in Greensboro.
He used to labor with us a great deal, preach a great deal on the tabernacle. And we used his book for a textbook, and then we have our own tabernacle study notebook, the two of them for $1.
I have a few of them left. Now shall we turn for our lesson to the book of Exodus, and tonight our subject will be the pillar of fire. Many have asked me about that background, what it signifies, what it was, and some details concerning it. Now we've noticed that the purpose of the tabernacle was that God might dwell in the midst of his people. They were to build a house for him. It wasn't a church for Israel. It was a house for Jehovah. And he dwelt in that house. And you remember how we noticed that he put this wall of white around his home. For although he welcomed others to be with him, they had to come in the divinely appointed way. There was only one way in which they could approach God. And God, dwelling in the midst of his people, desired their fellowship and proved to them what a God he was. There were no roads in the desert, but he guided them by that pillar of fire. There was no food in the desert, but they ate at heaven's table. There was no water in the desert, but there was a river that followed them. Wherever they went, it found its source in the rock. There was nothing to do in the desert, but he gave them the most blessed occupation that one could possibly have. The service of God in the desert. Now, Israel's tents were encamped around God's dwelling place. There's an interesting lesson in the arrangement of these tribes. I won't have time to speak of that tonight, but there's a significance in the arrangement. Judah was in the forefront. And Judah means praise, and praise should always be first with God's people. Praise the Savior, ye who know him. Who can tell how much we owe him? Gladly let us render to him all we have and all we are. And if praise is in the foreground, all will go well. But if grumbling is in the foreground, you may expect a lot of trouble. Keep on praising. Praising. Praise transforms things. Now, the encampment of Israel around the house of God was about the area of the city of London, England. There were about 3 million people gathered together in that wilderness in Sinai. Did God take care of them? Yes, he did. He fed them with the manna. But then he had a vast umbrella over their heads. That pillar of fire had its origin in the holiest of all. That's where Jehovah dwelt. And that's where he dwelt in an unapproachable light. No one could approach him in the holiest of all, except the high priest once a year. And then he had to come with blood, and he came with the incense from the incense altar that filled that holiest of all. And the incense from the incense altar mingled with the display of the glory of God, and that's what we call the Shekinah, or the manifestation of God's glory. Now, from the holiest of all rose that pillar, and it spread over all the camp of Israel. You can just imagine what it would be to spend days in the heat of the desert. But it was comfortable for Israel, for they had this pavilion. They had this cloud overhead. And they lived under the shadow of the Almighty. And then there were cold nights. And that cloud that shadowed them and protected them from the heat in the daytime gave them light during the nighttime. So there was no night for Israel. What a God they had found. How good and how gracious he was. And they should have spent all their time praising him and magnifying him. The sad fact is that they did not. God dealt with them in matchless grace. They forgot him. But tonight I would like to trace with you the story of that pillar. And I believe we will learn some lessons of the presence of God with his people now in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. What that cloud was to Israel as they went through the desert, the Holy Spirit of God is for God's beloved people now. For Christianity is twofold. There's a man in heaven, we sang of him, that man of Calvary has won my heart for me. The other truth is that God is on earth. God, the Holy Spirit, is on earth. And what is he here for? To speak of himself? No. Neither as source, nor as subject. The Holy Spirit of God is here on earth to magnify and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and to lead the bride through the wilderness to the bridegroom in glory. Now shall we turn to the first mention of that unfailing companion of Israel. With Israel all the way. And the first appearance we have in the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 21. God delivered his people out of the bondage, and he brought them all the way through the wilderness, and through the wilderness. And you'll notice in verse 20, of Exodus chapter 13, these words. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. Now getting to Etham, they left cities behind. They left villages behind. They left fields behind. Up to this point, they could trace out their way. They knew where they were. But now they come to the edge of the wilderness. And there's no pathway. There are no maps. They're up against difficulties. But what do we find? We find what God always does and what He always is. He's the helper of the helpless. And you discover that in your Christian experience. I've had a class in Grand Haven for 45 years on Tuesday nights. And one evening, a young man came. And he's quite a self-satisfied young fellow. And he said, "Mr. Pell, I see you know quite a bit about the Bible." I said, "Well, I studied it for some time. I know a little bit about it." "Well," he said, "there's a verse in the Bible that I've been looking for a long time and have never been able to find it. Now, maybe you can help me out." I said, "What is the verse?" "Well," he says, "it's this, God helps those who help themselves." I said, "That's Revelation chapter 23, verse 1. And I went on with my Bible study. I saw him looking up through the pages of his Bible. And at the close of the meeting, he said, "Did I hear you right? I've been looking for that verse and I can't find it." "Well," I said, "I remember. What was it, the verse you wanted?" "Well, God helps those who help themselves." "And what did I answer?" "Well, you said something about Revelation." "Oh, yes, Revelation 23, verse 1. I simply meant you will not find that in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. And it's not according to our blessed God. You know, our extremity is always God's opportunity. And whenever you get to an extremity, be sure that you look for God to come in, and He will if you let Him. That's a lesson that we need to learn. And you can never be a happy Christian unless you learn that lesson. You're sure to burn your fingers if you try to bake your own pie. You're sure to go wrong if you attempt things for yourself. And so when they got to the edge of the wilderness, God said, "Now I'll go before you." And the Lord went before. Remember that. Remember that. If that's all you get out of the meeting tonight, you will have received something that will be for your blessing all your life. Never go unless you see Him before. Always follow the leading of the cloud. Always be guided by the Holy Spirit of God. Never by your own wisdom. Never by the counsel of others. We are absolutely dependent upon God for every step of the onward way. The Lord went before him. Well, we sing it, "Lead kindly light amid the encircling gloom." And then we sing it whether we mean it or not. "I do not ask to see the distant path. One step enough for me." How many of you sing that and don't believe it? Is one step enough for you? Or do you want to see the distant future? Israel couldn't. That pillar was there and all they could see was the pillar. And wherever the pillar went, they went. They might be in a hurry and get ahead of it to their disaster. But here we have a simple statement. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire
to give them light to go by day and night. Now I like the assurance of the next verse. God will never forsake his people. He will never leave them to themselves. They are precious to him. He loves them. And so, verse 22, he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. God was the unfailing companion of Israel all the way from Egypt to Canaan. Will you turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 18? Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 19. And notice what we have here. In verse 18, we have what they were. Yea, when they had made them a molten calf and said, this is thy God that brought thee up out of Egypt and had wrought great provocations. Now look at verse 19. Yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. Oh, so many dear children of God think that God's going to let them go. If they're not faithful, then the Lord will say, well, I'll just let you go your own way. But he's the God of all grace. He never fails, although we do. Yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go. I love that. Dear child of God, you may go on a little detour, but God's going to bring you back to the upward track by the touch of his hand upon you. What blessed assurance this is. If you started out from Egypt on this pilgrim pathway, you may be sure that you're going to reach the end of the way. For 'tis Jesus leads my footsteps. He has made my heart his own. I would not dare to journey through the wide, wide world alone. Now, this is the first lesson. The lesson of the future. My future is hid to me. It's known to God. And all I have to do is follow where he leads the way. But my past is hid, as well as my future. Notice, as we turn to the 14th chapter, and verse 19, chapter 14 and verse 19. And the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud in darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Now I have a very simple truth I'd like to illustrate by this. Just as our future is to get the eye on Christ and be guided by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God, just so the past is hid from our eyes by the Spirit of God. And we need not have the past catching up with us. Shall I illustrate?
There was a good friend of mine, a preacher, and he got a nervous breakdown. Things didn't go the way they should. And so he went to a psychiatrist, and it was a very prominent psychiatrist, and he thought he'd get help. He sat down in that office, and the psychiatrist said to him, "You're a preacher." "That's right. I wonder if you believe what you preach." He said, "Well, I think so." "Well," he said, "you know, there are three types of people that come to see me. One, they're apprehensive of the future. The future's ahead of them, and they just don't seem to be able to cope with it. They fear for the future. Then there are those, and they just can't get away from a guilt complex. The past is catching up with them. They can't forgive themselves. The past haunts them. Then there are those for whom the present burdens are too heavy. They just can't bear the duties of the day, the problems of the day. Too much for them." Now he said, "We're going to find out which of the three you are in. I'll ask you one question. Do you ever sing that song, 'Calvary Covers It All'? My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all?" He said, "Yes, I sing that." "Do you believe it? Do you believe that the past is blotted out from the memory of God? And you have no other past, just as Israel had no other past but that cloud. It shut them out from the vision of the Egyptians. It shut them out from the land of their bondage. They didn't have to remember Egypt at all. The past was the same as the future, the pillar of cloud. Their mind did not go past God. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind stops at God." And their mind thinking back stopped at God. And their mind thinking ahead stopped at God. And their mind thinking up stopped at God, for the cloud was overhead. So he said, "Now, do you believe that the past is blotted out?" He said, "Yes, I believe that." "Well, then perhaps it's the future. Or do you sing only glory by and by?" "Yes," he says, "I sing only glory and by and by." "You mean that you're not afraid of wrath to come?" "Right." "You mean that your sins are all put away and you'll never come into judgment for that?" "Yes, I believe that." "Well, then it must be that the Savior who covered and blotted out the past, the Savior who has gilded the future with the brightness of glory, forgets all about you at the present time. And he's letting you bear life's burdens alone. Or do you sing, 'What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer.' Do you believe that?" He said, "Yes." He said, "What in the world are you doing here? What in the world are you doing here? Israel's God is our God. He watches over me night and day and tells me, 'Thou art mine.' The glory shines before me. I cannot linger here. Dark clouds may soon be o'er me. My Father's house is near. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all. That cloud hid from them the future.
but it revealed a God to them who held the future. And their minds could be stayed on God, and they could have perfect peace. That cloud hid from them the past, and the past couldn't creep beyond that cloud and get into their hearts unless they allowed it. They could have God's peace in their soul. And looking up, there was that cloud overhead. Oh, beloved Christian of God, you're hemmed in by love divine. The Savior's arms are around you, and you can nestle in his arms and say, Jesus did it all, and Jesus does it all. I'm the object of his care. But there's something else that I like about that cloud, and that is that it adapted itself to their every necessity. I like that. There were many needs in the desert. There were many experiences in the desert. But, you know, that cloud and the God who was symbolized by that cloud met their every need. It was there by night. It was there by day. It was there in the morning. It was there in the evening. And I would like to suggest that there is a God who not only takes care of the past that's blotted out, not only takes care of the future, he leads the way, not only has secured our eternal blessing in Christ, but he takes care of the very details of your life and mine as he did of the Israelites. Let me turn to a few passages with you. Deuteronomy 33 and 25. Deuteronomy 33 and 25. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. Do you know how long those shoes lasted that the Israelites had? Huh? 40 years. They didn't need any shoemakers, did they? And you know why? Were you here when I told about those ladies surrendering their mirrors for the Lord? Those brass mirrors, that's what they had in those days, brass mirrors. Well, one day the command came, we want badger skins for the tabernacle. We want badger skins for the tabernacle. Well, you read in Ezekiel that they were shod with badger skins. They needed the badger skins for shoes. And I can hear some of the Israelites say, God wants those badger skins. What are we going to do for our children? What are we going to do for shoes? But they surrendered their badger skins to the Lord, and they had shoes that lasted for 40 years. You never lose by surrendering to God. Never. Their shoes shall be iron and brass. But this is what I want to notice. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Now there's a general promise here. And what is that? All of your days. That's a general promise. And there's a particular promise here. Each day of all those days. And then there's a varying promise here. Whatever it may be, as thy day, so shall thy strength be. You know, we always want to borrow yesterday's grace or anticipate tomorrow's troubles. But just as Israel in the wilderness had to go day by day, beloved child of God, It's the only way you and I can go on. As thy day, so shall thy strength be. In the days of Queen Mary, there were two martyrs awaiting martyrdom. They were in a little cell. The one was peaceful, but the other was pacing up and down in that cell. Every once in a while, a groan and a moan. Oh, brother, oh, brother. In that cell was a table with a candle. The candle was lit. And the brother put his finger in that candle flame and allowed it to burn to the first joint. And then he came and said, oh, brother, the pain is excruciating. It's unbearable. Think tomorrow of our bodies being given to the flames. Oh, brother, oh, brother. And the brother got up and put his hand on this other brother's shoulder, and he said, listen, as thy day, so shall thy strength be. Tomorrow, God will give us grace to face the flames. He didn't give you the tiniest bit of grace for what you did now. Don't anticipate trouble. As thy day, day by day, day by day, that's the lesson of that pillar. That's the lesson of God's dealings with his people. It was day by day. But there's another lesson in that cloud. I would like to have you turn with me to 1 Corinthians. It united them. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I think it is. First Corinthians chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Do you get the thought here? Here were nearly 3 million people, but they were all one. How so? They went into the waters of the Red Sea, and the cloud was overhead and around them, and they were all inside that cloud. And they were all baptized unto Moses. So that every one of them had their eye on Moses. Moses is our leader. Moses is our leader. Now, Paul uses that as a picture of the baptism of the Holy Spirit of God. Turn to the chapter here in the 12th chapter. The 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And notice what he says in verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. Every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is baptized by the Spirit of God the moment they believe. For just as all Israel were baptized to Moses by that cloud that was round about them, at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit of God came down, and individuals were baptized into one body. And so by the Spirit of God, we are no longer individuals. We are members of Christ's body, and let us recognize that fact. There is one body, and all believers are baptized into that one body by the Spirit of God, and Christ is our leader. As they were baptized under Moses, we are baptized unto Christ. And you'll never find in Scripture
and individual baptism, just as Israel as a nation were baptized to Moses, so the church as a whole have been baptized to him who is in the glory. The sealing of the Spirit of God is very different. Now, one more verse and I'm through. And that verse you will find in the Psalm 99 and verse 7. Not that I've covered the entire subject, but I just wanted to notice a few of the lessons that we learned from that Psalm 99 and verse 7. I like this. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. Not only is the Holy Spirit our guide, not only is the Holy Spirit our guard, not only is the Holy Spirit the one who cares for us in all the details of life, not only is the Holy Spirit of God he who unites all the people of God, the Spirit speaks. And don't forget that it's in the present tense. In Hebrews, the Holy Spirit speaketh expressly. In Revelation, the Holy Spirit speaks to the churches. And where do I hear the voice of the Holy Spirit of God? In the Word of God. And this is the living Word of God. And if I want to hear the voice of the Spirit of God, I don't close my eyes and get in some kind of a trance and have some kind of a vision. I have a direct word. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. And it's when our eyes are on Christ and our hearts are open to hear his voice that here we will hear him speaking to us. And then it will be true what we have in Psalm 91 and verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, I can't explain that to you. You have to experience it to know it. The shadow of the Almighty. Isn't that blessed? The secret place, the shadow of the Almighty. Now, please God, Sunday morning I expect to show how that tabernacle was built. I have a cross section here, and we'll notice the building of that house for God, the construction of it. When God said, build a house for me, he gave implicit instructions as to how it was to be built. And while we had in the pillars, Christians as individuals, in that building we had Christians as a united testimony. And the Lord willing, that will be our subject on Lord's Day. Shall we look to God? O God, our Father, how we thank thee that as Israel in the wilderness was the object of thy care, and the people that were saved from the sword found grace in the wilderness, when thou didst go to bring them into rest, we too are on our way to rest. We are journeying toward that heavenly Canaan. But we thank thee that all along the way we have thy presence with us.
brightening the future with visions of glory, hiding the past, for we cannot see past Calvary, and gazing into the glory and beholding our Lord Jesus Christ there, at home in thy presence. O God, our Father, what a portion is ours, and how little we avail ourselves of it. How we allow doubts to come in, and fears, and misgivings. Oh, that we might doubt our doubts, and that our eyes might ever be fixed on our Lord Jesus Christ, that we may follow our shepherd, and that we may hear his voice, and that we may rejoice in the green pastures into which he leads his flock. We ask thy blessing now. We commend ourselves to thee in the precious and worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not a song leader, so we'll just... Or can we sing that last chorus? Oh, make me understand it. Let's sing the chorus. I like that song. 66. The third verse in the chorus of 66. You haven't got it? Yep. My heart, oh, my secret is